Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We lay down our crowns and Father, we worship you. You're the all-glorious God. There is no defeat in you, no shame in you, no fear in you, no doubt in you, no confusion in you. All that is in you is perfect goodness, love. And we receive your love. Testify of your love. Thank you, God, that you, the God, has forgiven us all sins, cleansed us of all unrighteousness. We are blessed of you. And we thank you for your everlasting love, your unfailing love, your unstoppable, unceasing love. Love beyond description. Thank you. Thank you for your everlasting love, Father. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we declare it so. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to see you this evening. I was very surprised when I saw people in the building. I said, what's going on? the surprise was on me. Oh, well, praise God. It's good to see you all. And we'll welcome those who are still online. Thank God for every one of you. Today we are going to be wrapping up, hopefully, the book of Matthew. We've been in the book of Matthew, I believe, all of last year, and maybe we even started in the year before. And even then, even though we've come through this gospel that long, I think we were just scraping the surface. If we'd gone deeper than we had, we'll be doing this for quite a few years. I thank God that we are here at this time, and hopefully we'll be able to wrap up the next few verses. Last week, I believe we stopped in about the 16th verse. Matthew 28 and verse 16. Here, the Lord, one of the key thoughts that we shared last week was the fact that God brings us back full circle to the beginning to remind us again of where we came from, what we are about. And many times we try not to remember. So many people try not to remember where they started from. And whether it is good or bad, it's important to remember, but not to dwell there. Paul says, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press." But if you notice, Paul at various times referenced back to where he was. This was the kind of a person I was, and this is the kind of person I am now. If you don't reflect and come to an understanding of where you were, you many times do not see the changes that have taken place in your life. It's a good thing to sometimes just stop and reflect back. This is what I used to be like, and this is what I am now. And if I've covered this distance, well, I can keep on going. That's why you press. You press. You don't dwell on the glory of the past or the defeat of the past. Because either one can be a problem, but they are necessary to help you know where you're going. And so the Bible tells us in the 16th verse that the Lord, after he rose again from the dead and having revealed himself to disciples, it says in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. You might think that that statement, if it were not for what the Lord had revealed to us contextually, as we went through Matthew 28, was that statement was just saying, okay, he made an appointment to meet them at such and such a place. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about where he appointed them, where he started them, to remind them that this is a necessary point. Remember in Mark chapter 3, when I separated you from the masses, from the multitude, even from the midst of the other disciples, so that you can be with me, so that I can ordain you, anoint you to go out and preach the gospel. Do you remember? This is what he called them to do. He brought them back to the experience in Mark 3. And God always brings you back to that place. Do you remember when you got saved? What happened that day? If you can remember when you got saved, then I want to challenge whether you really had an experience. I can remember the day I got saved. I remember coming to the church. My father, by this time, was a believer through deep, heartfelt believer, not a religious man. He'd come to faith. And I was busy playing games, pretending that I'm a Christian because my father is a Christian, and God had lambasted that particular thought. He wanted a personal relationship with me. So I remember being in church, and I used to watch a television program called The Saint, interesting enough. The Saint will always start at 6 o'clock and ended at about 7. And so, you know, I'll be watching The Saint. I'm looking at the time. I never saw the end of any episode because I had to get to church just in time to hear the tail part of the message. And so I will take off after watching Simon Templar. He was the best of... how many of you seen that series, The Saint? It's dated me. Oh, okay. I see one hand over there. You know, I'll take off. I'll run out, and I'll sneak into the church. And I'll sit in the back. And I'll hear the summary of the message. And, you know, as the pastor rounds up and finishes up. And then I'll get up and say to my dad, wow, wasn't that a powerful message? That was such a wonderful message today. Wow. Oh, I liked it when he said this. this particular day, my dad says, the pastor wants to see you. So I went. Sarah Cross from the pastor, sitting on the bench in the choir loft, and I'm sitting on the opposite side. And he says to me, "Your father is a Christian and so am I. Okay. Well, on such and such a day, you were at such and such a place, and this was what you were doing." Now, where he's talking about was like 200 miles away. He has no way of knowing what I was doing on such and such a day with such and such a person. And this guy's reading my library. He's reading my mail. He's just going bang, bang, bang. And I'm getting really wound up now. I'm upset. I'm getting really angry. I'm looking at this guy. I'm thinking, where can I punch him? If I hit him in his face, what part of his face should I hit him? Because I don't want him to fight me back. And I'm getting really wound up, and my fist is ready to hit this guy, and I'm thinking, and he's going at it, one thing after the other, one thing after the other. And then he says, "You're my junior brother. Why are you acting like this?" Oh, now that did it. That did it. "I'm the oldest son of my father, and you calling me your junior brother? How dare you?" And I'm just about to release the blow. And he says, "In one of these days, your father and I and every believer will be raptured, and you will be left behind." What? I stopped and I thought about that. And I thought, what a minute. I don't want to be separated from my father under any circumstance. Do I want to be separated from my father? What am I going to do? Still very angry, I said to the Lord, "Okay. You want to save me? You can save me now." And the Lord took it. It wasn't like I'm saying, I'm so sorry. Oh, and I'm going to, no. The Lord says, "I better take this deal right now." This guy's nuts. I'll take this deal. And right there, it was like a brick load lifted off of me. I felt light. Something had happened inside of me. What I did not know, it had happened. Wow. I stood up. Pastor stood up. Went on his way. I stood up too, and I went on my way. And I didn't know that something really happened. But that was on a Friday. By Sunday, everybody in the neighborhood knew I had changed. But the amazing thing was that I didn't know I had changed. I thought I was still the same person, but I had so dramatically changed, flipped, that this new life was my new normal. The smoke's gone. The womanizing gone. Not a trace of my old self. Nothing was left. It was all wiped out. That this new life was like I was living the other way. And I didn't know I had changed. If you can understand what I'm talking about. The new life was my normal life. Just like the old life was my normal life. This was my new life. And I was just living this new life just as it was. I didn't know I had changed. On Sunday, the pastor was at our home with some other guys. And my dad says to me, go get us some drinks. I said, we don't have any drinks. He said, just buy some from the vendor across the street. So I got all the drinks and I brought it. And I opened the bottles of Coke and Sprite and I served everybody. And I said, there's an extra one. What do you want me to do with this one? They always said, oh, that's for you. I said, for me? He said, yes. I said, you don't normally buy me drinks like this. What is this about? He says, well, it's for you because you've changed. That's when I knew I had changed. And I stopped for a moment and I said, that's right. The things I used to do, I do them no more. Wow. I'm changed. And now and then, I remember where God started me from. Now and then, I remember the day I got called into ministry. When I'm going through a tough time, I go back to that particular time. God, I didn't call me. You called me. You knew where I was going and what I wanted to do with my life, but you elected to call me. Now I'm here. Why am I going through this? You got to help me with this one. And so it is. Every one of us has, we have a watershed point in our lives where something changed. Something changed in you, something turned around in your life that you can go back to and say, such and such a time, this is what happened. And many times, even in my giving of my offerings and the challenges I bring to you, sometimes you hear me say things like, mark this day. Let this be a marker that on such and such a day, give an offering that marks this moment. Because I want you to be able to reflect back, go back and say, yeah, on such and such a day, I made such and such a commitment. When I think of this year, I think about the year that God asked me to give certain things, and it was not a struggle. It was not, oh, man, now you want this. How come you're asking me for this now, this time? No. In 2021, no. You want what? I want $20,000. Okay, I don't have $20,000, but it must mean that you know that I'm going to get $20,000. I receive it by faith, and there it is. That's where I am. And I ask the Lord the question, why is it that I'm not feeling it like I used to feel it? He says, because now you know. Now you know. I thought I used to know the benefit of giving. He said, no. Now you know. So God brings them to the mountain where he called them. He separated and brought them up the mountain.
that he might be with them. That he might be with them. And that was key. A powerful key in their ministry, ministering with him. In Mark 3 and verse 14, he says, and he ordained 12. He ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. They must first be with him so that he can send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Why is he bringing them there? Because he's going to remind them that all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto him, and that because he has all that power, he is releasing it to them to do the same exact same thing. I'm leaving you. But I'm not leaving you without reminding you that I've already prepared you for this moment. I've been preparing you for this moment. I've been preparing you to bring healing to the masses. I've been preparing you to change lives. I've been preparing you. I promised you that I was going to make you fishers of men. You might go preach the gospel and have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Wow. And Simon, his son, named Peter. That's key. Verse 17, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, his son, named them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. Why is he listing these people right there? Because, you see, when he talked about Simon in Matthew 16, this was another fundamental point. In Matthew 16, he asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And then he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's when he called him Simon, Peter. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Simon, son of Jonah, Bar Jonah. Flesh and blood had not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon the revelation of the truth of who I am, this revelation that you came about by the revelation of God, that I am the Son of God, I'm going to build my church and the gates, the government of hell will not prevail over this church that knows the revelation of who I am. So when the Lord takes them back to that mountain in Matthew 28, 16, it was a point of reference. This is where they were appointed. And the Lord was reminding them, remember, I separated you. I asked you to come up higher, to be with me. And I want you to remember this, you be with me. Don't be afraid. I'm equipping you for a greater life. And so it was. Matthew 28, verse 17. It says, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. There are always those who doubt. And why are they doubting? Because what was happening was unusual. Dead people don't come to life. When you're dead, you're dead. Here the Lord is speaking to them. But more than that, the idea is this. That when God brings you back to the point of reference, that this is what I called you, this is what I've been working out to accomplish in you and through you, that there are many times that we come and we still think of ourselves past the point where he referenced, where he brought us to. And we go past that point to another place. And there we start doubting ourselves. God wants you to go just as far to the point of the change. Just want you to be thinking about what you used to be before that. No, I want to go back to the place where I called you, not to the place where you're doubting me. I want you to come to the place where you knew that I separated you, I chose you, I picked you out. And remind yourself of this, that I made the decision. I know everything about you, but I still decided to love you. I still decided to use your life. But God, you don't know. You don't know. Why do we many times choose to play God? Why is it that now you know more than God knows? God says this about you. You argue with God about that. God says, I've given you the gift of righteousness. That's not possible. That's not possible. I cannot be righteous. No, no. I gave you access to my presence. Why don't you come to me? Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Oh, no, no. I'm not good enough. I know you're not good enough. I have decided that you are good enough. Accept it. That's how change comes. Say some worshipped and some doubted. The important thing about that is this, that you choose and elect not to be amongst the doubters who are looking for all kinds of empirical evidence first before you believe. Just like Thomas, if I want to put my fingers in the nail print. I won't touch his side before I'm going to believe. And so Jesus shows up and says, okay, I'm here. Do it. Oh, my Lord, my God. But blessed are those who choose to believe before they see. Just believe that I'm God and I will never lie. You know, child of God, this is what I want you to understand. This is what God wants me to understand, every one of us. As long as you step out there, and the sun is still up there, and the earth is still here, there's still a God. He's still on the throne. As long as you're still breathing, there's still God. If everything ceases to exist, you won't be here, because as soon as, if God dies, that will never happen. If God dies, you're dead. You're finished. Because he holds everything. As long as somebody's still alive, there's still a God. You can still believe him and still trust that you're going to come out of the mess that you find yourself in now. And if you don't, you are still in him. There's no point to live in doubt. Trust God. Verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You don't need to doubt. All power in heaven has been given unto me. Therefore, because I have all power in heaven and I have all power in the earth, go ye therefore on the basis of the fact that I have all the power. Not a little bit is left. I got all of it. Go therefore and teach all nations. Teach all nations. Teach all nations. Notice that the Lord, in speaking to us, is telling us to speak to all nations, not just one individual, all ethnos, all ethnic groups. Speak to all nations. Don't say, well, I don't speak Spanish or I don't speak French, so I cannot talk to them. He says, go speak to all ethnic groups, all ethnos, all nations. In a few days from now, I'm going to be speaking to people once again in the nation of Pakistan. I don't speak their language. But there's somebody who speaks their language, who speaks my language. So I'm going to speak my language that the person understands, and that person is going to be my voice to them. They're going to interpret what I'm saying, and guess what? People are going to get healed. People are going to get saved. People's lives are going to be changed forever. That's speaking to all nations. I don't just sit down there and say, well, I can't. A few days from now, we're going to have some great generals of the faith speaking to us. How is that going to happen? We're going to do it virtually. And not only are we going to hear the word of God, all kinds of people are going to hear the word of God. Oh, well, but there's a lockdown. So what does that mean? If there's a lockdown, does that mean that we cannot no longer speak the word of God and get the word of God across and go behind the doors, the locked doors of people? No, you do what you got to do. And God continues to do what he's got to do. In January, we had services every day, all of January. And I remember one of the ministers that ministered, you know, had a very, you know, laser-focused prophetic gifting. And he was busy reading people's mails, just like my mail was read when I got saved. And giving people's, talking, you know, mentioning people's addresses. There are people here whose addresses were mentioned. The guy doesn't know these people. He's all the way in Nigeria and mentioned people's addresses, not only in Canada, but in the United States, zip code and all. Bang, bang, bang. Did the distance stop the Spirit of God from moving? No. Absolutely not. God's power is not limited. And when he says, I've got all the power, go teach all nations. Go teach all nations. Didn't just say, go preach to nations. He says, teach them. To teach means that you are there to show them how it works. Preaching is 2 + 2 = 4. Memorize it. What is 2 + 2? 4. But why is 2 + 2 = 4? What is 2? And what is 4? You got to teach it. What is If I owed you $2,500 and I borrowed another $2,500 and I want to pay you back, and you said to me, you owe me $41,000. And I said, well, why do you come to that conclusion? What do you mean, $41,000? I owe you $5,000. He said, no, no. You owe me $41,000. You'd be thinking I'm crazy. But based on my thinking, you owe me $41,000. Ask me why you owe me, the amount is $41,000. $25,000 or $2,500. Zero plus zero, zero. Zero plus zero, zero. Five plus five, ten. Zero. Two plus two. But guess what? 2 plus 2 equals 4, but there is 10 here. 5 plus 5 is 10. So it's 4, 1, 0, 0, 0. You can't be doing that. Oh, that's my math. So that's crazy. Well, that's because the person had not been taught. Just because you add things does not mean that you don't move numbers. You carry one to the 2 plus 2 plus 1, 5. That's why it's 5,000. But if you don't know about that, you say it's 41,000. That makes sense? So God says to us, teach people. Don't just give them information. Teach them. Teaching takes time. So the Lord is saying to us, spend time with people. Get the word across to them. Let them learn how it works. And then it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Did I say we were going to finish today? And when I was saying it, I'm saying, you're making a mistake. I don't even know if we're going to finish. But let me just try. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Identifying them to that name. The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. One of the things we've been doing, because this year we're going to spend our time dwelling on one primary subject, the establishment of the covenant of God. We've spent some time talking about the names of God. If you notice, we've been talking about just primarily the names of Yahweh. We've not talked about the names of Yeshua, Jesus. Jesus has names and attributes that he manifests, and so does the Holy Ghost. He's called our helper. He's called our comforter. He's called the one who brings to remembrance those things that we need to remember. And all of those attributes are important, and we need to be logged in and linked to all that God wants to accomplish in us, with us, and through us. He says, I want you to baptize them. Bring them to an understanding. Bring them to a place of oneness with my names, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Do you know that one of the names of Jesus is that he's the door? He says, I'm the door. So what does that mean? What should that mean to you as a believer, that he's the door? Well, if I'm going through a situation that I need a breakthrough for, I can understand that he is the door that will bring me into the next dimension, because doors take you from one room to the other. But doors also shut one room from another. So I can believe that he is the door that is going to keep the enemy away from me. And I can believe that he's the door that will give me entrance to another dimension. If he's the shepherd, what does that mean? Well, that means he shepherds me. That means that he's the one who's going to take me to green pastures. That means that he's the one who's going to protect me and fight off the wolves from my life. Just knowing who he is determines a great deal of how I respond in life. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. What things has he commanded us to do? Love your neighbors yourself. So teach them that. Teach them to love. Teach them to give. Teach them. Teach them to bring healing and deliverance to the masses, because all power has been given unto me. And if all power is given unto me, and I am going to be inside of you, and Paul is going to say to us, I'm dead, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Then if I'm the one living inside of you, then I'm the one who's going to be doing the healing. Oh, but I'm not prayed up. That has nothing to do with it. I've not fasted long enough. That has nothing to do with it. Because it is not because I've not fasted long enough or prayed long enough that's going to bring about the miracle. He is the one that is going to do the works. In John 14, the Lord says, I can't do anything. It is the Father. He's the one who doeth the works. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, I've never healed anybody. The Father did it. Every single thing, the Father did it. So what does that do for me? It causes me to relax. And there, say to somebody who's crippled, rise up and walk. And if they don't walk, it has nothing to do with me. But if they walk, I have no right to claim it and say, look at what I did. You didn't do nothing. He did it. So teach people to just trust that I am going to be with them. Listen to the next statement. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm never going to leave you. These disciples are going to die. But if they teach other people, then he's always going to be with them and with them and with them and with them, with everybody that has been taught. With everybody that has been taught. I'm going to be with everyone that has been taught, and I'm going to be with them even unto the end of the world. The end of the ages. The end, as you know it. I'm going to be there. And it says, amen. Amen. So let it be. The world that we live in, it's acting crazy. But amen is exactly what amen is. You know, somebody was praying recently at the inauguration celebration of the President of the United States, and said, amen and a women. What craziness. Amen and a women. As if that statement was just about people. It has nothing to do with people. It's about God. God saying, so it is. signed, sealed, delivered. That's it. And God is saying the same thing to us today. This is a firm, faithful statement. I'm going to be with you all the way through, even unto the end of the world. I'm going to be there. Till the end of the ages. In saints, we need to rest ourselves on that infallible truth. God says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you what? I'm going to be with you in making sure that what I said comes to pass. I'm going to be with you when you are busy teaching. I'll be with you when you're teaching. Well, I need to know so much before I can teach. God says, I'm going to be with you. And so he says, don't concern yourself about what you're going to say. He says, I'm going to just open your mouth and I'll feel it. And so it is of utmost importance that I connect with God, be at peace with God, rest with God, and recognize that God is calling me into a partnership relationship with Him so that His voice can be manifested through me. He's taking full control of this body so that what I say is what God is saying. And there's nothing that I believe God is saying that is beyond God's ability to bring to pass. Nothing. He can bring it all to pass because He's a faithful God and I can trust Him. Amen? We can trust Him. I'll say it again. You can trust Him. No matter what you're going through right now, He is trustworthy. Yes, He is. He's the unchanging changer. Same yesterday, today, and forever. You can trust God. You can believe Him. He's believable. He's worthy. And because He's worthy, He's making you worthy also. So tonight, whatever your situation, let God press the refresh button in your life. Because there are times when we need a renewal. You may have been worn out by the experiences of yesteryears and yesterday. But it's a new day. God has something new He has on His mind for you. Pastor, I failed yesterday. That was yesterday. Well, I failed 5 minutes ago. That was 5 minutes ago. It's still in the past. And the very fact that you know that you failed is a good sign. Because if you're beyond rich, you'll do the wrong thing and not have a sense that you even did anything wrong. when you can still sense that was not right, you're in the right place. See, pain becomes gain when pain, and I don't know why I'm going this direction right now, when your pain reminds you that you're alive. You don't feel pain. If this skin here is dead, I won't feel it. If this hand is dead, I will not feel it. The very fact that you are feeling says that you're alive. So, but Pastor, I'm hurting right now. That's all right. That's all right. As long as you're hurting, we know that God can still do something. And He will do it. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's His promise to you. So today, go past the disappointments, DIS appointments, and see your DIS appointments, disappointments, as this THIS appointment with God. This appointment, this situation is my appointment with God. And I will tell Him how I feel. For I know He will hear me and He will make a way for me where there seems to be no way. There's no day that you're going to be cornered and there is no way. Because it doesn't matter whether the building is shut up and there are no doors and no windows, God can get you out of where you are limited and you get to the outside. Because with His resurrection life operating in you, you don't need no doors and you don't need no windows and you don't need anybody opening doors for you. Because your real door is Him. Go through Him. And what I say to you right now is of utmost importance, because you, child of God, are going to be in tight situations in the days to come. And you need not look at your circumstance and be defeated. But recognize that Jesus in Luke chapter 4, when they led Him to the edge of the cliff and they were about to push Him off, He just turned around and walked through the midst of them and went wherever He wanted to go. That's you. That's your story. When they think you've locked you in, you're long gone. Chariots surrounded the place. And the prophet's servant was saying, "Oh, we are overcome. We're overwhelmed. We're taken. We're messed up." Prophet says, No, we're not. There's more that be with us than they that be with them." What are you talking about? There's two of us here and there's thousands over there, and you're saying there's more with us than them? God opened His eyes. Oh, wow. When His eyes were open, there were the prophets or angels surrounding the prophet. God is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And there's not a problem, not an issue that you're going to face today, tomorrow, or at any time that is going to overwhelm God. You and God together, you will win, win, win. No defeat is assigned to your name. But this is a victory that overcometh the world, even faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? But he that has been born of God. You've been born of God. And you are child of God, more than a conqueror. You win. Don't you forget it. Don't you ever forget it. I know you're in a tight spot right now, but you are the one going to win this battle. Yes, you will. Be encouraged in God and know that whatever circumstances are surrounding you right now, you are not going to be defeated. You are going to be the victor, not the victim. In Jesus' name, so it is done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we are thankful for the privilege once again to hear your word, to be taught of you. I thank you, Lord, O God, that your anointing is sufficient. Your presence, O God, sufficient. All that you are, sufficient. And therefore, this day, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we cleave to you, to your eternal words, and we say, let it be unto us according to thy word. Whatever it is that you say is what it is. You said, let there be light, and there was light. You called for the earth, the land to be separated from the waters, and so it was. You called for fishes and for birds to come out of the water, and so it was. There's nothing that you've decided to do that wasn't done, and you did not have to say good or very good. So, Lord, O God, we believe that your word, for your thoughts concerning us, are pleasant, they are wonderful, they are glorious words. We say, Lord, let your word be fulfilled in us. For your word will shatter every stronghold, will break every limitation, will destroy every bondage, destroy every chain, destroy every addiction, destroy every lie of the enemy. We can walk in victory because your name is above every other name. And at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee must now and always bow, and every tongue confess, Jesus is Lord, of the things in the heavens, the things on the earth, and the things under the earth. Thank you, Father, that your word is manifested in our lives, and we are gloriously blessed and highly favored of you. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.